Kelly's Westport Inn proudly presents The Royal Man Report, brought to you by Kings of Coffee, featuring Mike Engel, KC Royal Man, and producer Aaron Gnerk. Check us out every Sunday from 7 to 8 p.m. at royalmanreport.com. Follow us on Twitter at Royal Man Report. Download the Stitcher radio app to your BlackBerry, iPhone, or Android device. Opening music and breaks provided to you by 49 Stones, www.49stones.net. Check them out. And now, the Royal Man Report.
And welcome into the Royal Man Report. I am Casey Royal Man. I am joined in studio, as always, by Mike Engel.
What's up?
And newest member of the team, full-time fake, Ned Yost.
Yo.
Chris Kamler in the house once again, and he's bringing all sorts of fun to the breaks this week. Make sure you check out all the breaks, because we got some enjoyable stuff in each one of them for you. We got lots of good stuff to talk about this week. Good job by you guys. Of course, Jeff Herr added to the team last week. We had Chris and Mike, and they took care of things while I was dancing the night away, watching one of my good buddies get married off. I didn't drop the rings. I didn't fall down. Nobody passed out. It was pretty good wedding all the way around, and there was lots of free liquor, so I was pretty well sloshed. Yay. After the best man speech.
Wait, nobody passed out, you said?
Yeah, I guess that makes it not quite a good wedding, right?
Right. I think you failed somewhere.
Well, anyways, we did have a great show last week, and great job to all of you guys last week. Of course, you can follow us all on Twitter at of course, the Royal Man Report and Kings of Kaufman. Those are the most important two. And then if you want to follow us individually, it's Casey Royal Man, Michael Engel, that's E-N-G-E-L, at Fake Ned Yost, and of course our good friend Jeff Herz at the Jeff Report. So guys, how's your week going?
Oh, it's pretty good. You know, it's the usual week. Pretty cool weekend. You know, I think Halloween's always kind of cool, so people are gearing up for that, and that'll be next weekend. So, pretty decent.
I'm having a better day than Kyle Bowler.
Everybody's having a better day than Kyle Bowler. I think anybody that just got out of bed and didn't, you know, completely lose their job today is having a better day. You know, he really did have a chance. They showed that they really wanted to go with Carson Palmer, and he
went
gave
all the way
every
the first
reason
half,
to.
First series of the second quarter, second half.
Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs on a great win today. The Raiders had won six in a row against the division last year. Not going to happen this year. And no. I said all along it was too early to jump off the Chiefs bandwagon. The Chargers lost today. A win at home against the Chargers next week, and it's a whole new season again, guys.
Yep. Go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs.
Yeah, anytime on the Kyle Bowler subject, anytime your home fans are cheering for Carson Palmer to get into the game,
yeah, you've got a problem.
You've made a mistake somewhere.
You've got
life choice failure.
Life choice failure, indeed. So getting right down to business here, last week the Pitch Awards came out, and there was actually some sports stuff in there. They do a People's Choice section, and in the People's Choice section, the most popular Royals player was Eric Hosmer and Alex Gordon, with second going to Billy Butler and third going to Jeff Francoeur. This almost surprises me that Francoeur was that low and Billy was actually actually third. If you tie for first twice pitch, you got to put the next person at three. Eric Hosmer, Alex Gordon tied for first. Not surprising. The young kid and the most successful player of the year. Billy Butler, the longtime DH, still producing. A lot of people obviously on his bandwagon. And then the ever-lovable Jeff Francoeur that just strikes out at anything you seem to throw at him. But other than that, an all-around nice guy. So not a whole lot of surprises there.
No, not really. I think Hosmer and Gordon are pretty easy. With Butler finishing second, I think it's interesting to kind of see. I wonder how many people are, you know, as devoted followers, you know, every game, sitting there on Twitter, like the three of us during the season, who, you know, we see all the, you know, the controversy, all the criticism of Billy Butler, and maybe they don't see it, and they just kind of like, you know, he looks like a kid you would have went to high school with.
Yeah.
You know, just a little portly, but hitting the ball country strong, country breakfast.
He's kind of built like me, but he's got a hell of a lot more talent than I do. So the best Chiefs player went to Jamal Charles, with Matt Cassel and Tom Ali coming up behind that. I'm almost really surprised that Matt Cassel's that high up.
Yeah, I think it's just a quarterback thing.
He's the face of the franchise.
For now.
That's troubling.
Until next year. Best college basketball coach, of course, it's a local vote, so it's not too surprising that number one was Bill Self, number two, Frank Martin, and number three, Kim Anderson. I don't think you can go wrong there. I know you're a Mizzou guy, and I'm Chris, and I'm neither, but I love Bill Self. He comes on the radio. I can't help but to listen. I just love the guy, and if you didn't have a dog in the fight, I don't see how you could ever root against Bill Self. He's just an all-around pretty good guy.
I would Agreed.
Are you mocking me?
No.
I'm mocking Bill Self.
Oh, okay. Because it could have went either way on that one.
He's been better at that since coming to KU. But, yeah, if you go back and listen to anything from Illinois or Tulsa, he has some stammers. You know, that's nice. Just what he does. You know, I have to agree with Frank Martin as well. I mean, Frank Martin is a – I personally despise him, can't stand him, but he gets the job done.
He's a pretty polarizing guy.
Right. You either hate him or you love him. Yeah, I think that's fine, you know, those two guys. Of course, Bill Self, I'm going to be biased and think that he's the best coach because, well, he is. That's what it is.
Best college football coach, Gary Pinkel, Bill Snyder, and Turner Gill. Again, it's only because it's a local vote. Turner Gill should be anybody's favorite.
I mean, I don't know that Turner Gill would vote for Turner Gill.
I would think that if you held that today, it would be Bill Snyder, Gary Pinkel, and everyone else in the world. And then last would be
Turner Gill.
So, and I don't, yeah. I mean, it's not been that long since they ran this vote. So you kind of knew Turner Gill wasn't going to have the best season. But Gary Pinkel, I like that. Not a Mizzou guy, but I think he does a great thing with what they have down there. And I honestly don't think Mizzou has that much most of the time.
No, honestly, I think they'd have picked that Northwest Missouri State guy above Turner Gill at this point.
Pretty much. So interesting little vote. And then there were some – those were the sports ones that I found interesting. Outside of that, there were some other ones such as Best Bar We've Forgiven. That was a pitch vote, not a people vote, but they had given that to Kelly's. Apparently it's more of a touristy place than I think it is. I think it's one of the best bars in town, not because they're our sponsor, but because they just treat me really well when I'm in there. And they always have. And I know you guys have had pretty good experiences there. And you like the shot girls way too much.
I'm a big fan of those gals. They're fantastic.
And I'm pretty sure at this point they're probably a pretty good
hard-working girls. Easy on the eyes. So cheap drinks.
They know where the tips are.
Yes, they do.
If for some reason you need to forgive Kelly's, it was the most forgave bar, according to the pitch. Go check it out. They were also second, and you're going to find out, hear more about this later, but they were second in the city, voted by the people, for best bar to pick up single guys. They lost to Moxie's, which I've never been to, and they beat out in third place Buddies.
I live in Lawrence. I don't get it.
You just killed my joke.
I'm sorry.
Buddies is a gay bar.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it's probably correct.
Well, you know, it's just funny that it just beat out a gay bar. So, either way.
Just barely.
So check out the rest of the pitch awards. You can catch those on the pitch's website. Theo Epstein to the Cubs. Looked like it wasn't going to happen this week. Then it did, so that's all done. Now it becomes a waiting game for everybody else that has successful GMs. And like him or not, Dayton Moore has been a successful GM, and J.J. Piccolo has been a huge part of that team. So it'll be interesting to see if they play into any of the carousel that's about to happen.
I don't think Dayton Moore is going to go anywhere. There's even if Boston is, say, a better job, there's always kind of that element of wanting to be there to turn it around and that competitive streak to see that job through. And leaving now would be kind of silly for Dayton Moore if that's what he wanted to see, is, you know, see his plans actually come to fruition and get this team to the playoffs. You know, he would be leaving right as the Royals are kind of starting to get that charge. Boston's a good job. I mean, you're going to get the money you need to spend, but you know, you also get more scrutiny. You've got, you know, if you make a wrong move, you know, it's magnified, you know, by 10 times. So,
and I would say there's probably nothing, I wouldn't even pick his second and third in command to pick them off if I were another team, just until I start seeing some improvement from those other, you know, or just from the Royals. I would show me some results before I start, you know, picking through your guys' front office.
Well, and so we'll see what happens of that. There's a lot to come of that, so we'll see what's going to happen there. As we go kind of around the Royals empire, you could say, the blogger sphere, we found some articles we found interesting, and I'm going to kick this one over to you guys right off the bat. But Rainey talked about age, draft picks, and potential for improvement, and some interesting information on what he thought about Bubba Starling just based on age.
Yeah, he went into an extensive study where he was looking at high school hitters and when they were drafted and the age of when they were drafted. So the trend that he saw was that players who were 17 years old or younger when they were drafted out of high school as hitters typically had better careers. They were bigger stars. Where that relates to Bubba Starling is Starling, you know, I think he's 19 now, so he was definitely older when he was drafted by the Royals back in June. And so that could suggest that maybe the superstar potential isn't there. It's kind of interesting because, you know, it's the whole idea of upside. And, you know, when a player improves from the year, say, age 19 to age 20, that's a large space of improvement. So, it's a larger scale. Rather than if somebody's 25 to 26, the improvement there is usually a lot more gradual. It's usually, you know, kind of on a bell curve. It rises quickly and then levels out the older you get and then starts to fall once you get older.
Well, I'm also curious about, you know, he's suffered an injury already this, you know, so far in instructional league or mm-hmm. whatever they go, winter, fall, whatever. But, you know, I'm kind of curious as to how that might set him back even further. So, the early signs, what I'm hearing you say, the early signs are that you're unable to, there's not a lot of good things going on for Bubba so far.
Yeah,
at least out of the gate.
It's been weird. And he signed late, so he never got mm-hmm. in any of the rookie leagues. The Royals saw maybe a few days in the instructional leagues, and then he hurt his quad, and, you know, since he hasn't been able to get out there. So, I don't know. I think he's going to be fine. I mean, a lot of the instructional leagues are kind of, I think it's a lot of drills. It's a lot of just getting people reps in the, you know, the game speed. So, you know, you want to see him out there, but at the same time, it's not the end of the world just yet. Now, come spring, if he's still having issues, then, you know, obviously you don't want to see that.
Well, and I've hurt my quad before, and it's usually always just because you're working too hard, you're trying too hard, you didn't get you know, properly stretched out, and so.
And just to kind of jump off, if you're not listening live, if you're catching the podcast, we do this live from 7 to 8 every Sunday here at TheRoyalManReport.com. So definitely check it out live. If you're in the chat room right now, speak up. I know there was a lot of people in here last week. So if you're in there, give us a hey, and we'd love to give a shout-out to you. Let us know what your Twitter handle is. We'll give you a shout-out on the air here because anybody listening to us is definitely worth a follow Friday when it comes time. Continuing on, we went over to Pine Tar Press and rated some of their articles that we found interesting. Greg Schaum talks about the Cologne draft and passing on Pomeranz, which has been a big conversation on Facebook with some Royals groups that I'm in. And I was very interested in this article because I've been asking the same thing for a couple of weeks, seeing Pomeranz go to my favorite NL team, the Colorado Rockies, and seeing what he's doing there already. But apparently dude had some major character issues. His older brother actually hurt his chances of getting into the major league sooner than he did. Do we regret not signing Pomeranz, you know, with his character issues, or is it all right that we went the way we did?
Well, I mean, a lot of these guys are really young, so hopefully the character issues will iron out and you get them into your system. You never know. I mean, I think at this point what Cologne has done, it was probably a mistake to pass on him if they were looking at him, so, you know.
Well, we'll talk a little more about that on the other side. We're going to be joined on the other side by Clint Scholes of Pine Tar Press, who's going to talk a lot about his trip to Arizona, and we will be back in about 3 minutes.
Royal Man Report presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Westport Bar Doorman.
Mr. Westport Bar Doorman.
With the cold of winter and the joy of short skirt season, you are there, protecting the Westport bars so that we can pick up on legal college chicks on Friday night.
I'm so drunk.
You deal with the best and worst of the town, answering questions like, yes, I've seen famous people, and no, you don't look 47, and I'm sorry. Howard Light District is 20 blocks north.
I'm not as thick because you're drunk. I am.
You keep a watchful eye on the bars of Kansas City armed with only a pen light and your ability to do subtraction.
I am 221.
So crack open an ice-cold beverage you might have snuck from behind the bar, Mr. Westport Doorman, and know you'll always control the velvet rope to our hearts. Royal Man Report is on Sundays at RoyalManReport.com, Kansas City.
We're excited to have an exclusive interview with the new iPhone 4 assistant, Siri. Hello, Siri. How are you doing today?
Thank you. It's nice for me to be here.
Siri, you've been pretty busy with the new iPhone launch. What do you do for fun?
It's just been crazy around here. I've been looking for a place to get away and wind down, but I have not been able to find anything my style on the plaza.
Well, have you tried Kelly's Westport Inn?
I show Kelly's Westport Inn to be at the corner of Westport Road and Pennsylvania Avenue.
It's got way more than that. It's been voted by The Pitch as one of the best places to meet guys in Kansas City. It's got a great laid-back vibe, plenty of TVs to watch sports, an awesome pizza place in the back, and plenty of drink specials during the week.
You say it's a nice place to meet guys? Accessing. This sounds like the place for me. Shutting down now.
You can't shut down. If you want to meet Siri and other great Kansas Cityans, check out Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road in beautiful, laid-back Westport. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
And welcome back to the Royal Man Report. We're trying to get Clint on the phone. We'll have him on here in just a minute or two. So a little crazy break there. If you don't normally take it time to take the break, you should, because we've always joked that Mike doesn't have much of a sense of humor, and even that part
really
got him to laugh. So good job by you, Chris. I'm very pleased with what you bring to the show.
I'm happy to be here. I want to do what I can for the team. Sometimes it wins, sometimes you lose, sometimes it rains.
I heard the Real American Hero bit, and I sent him a message. I said, hey, do you think you could do the actual commercials for us? Here's all the information I wanted. Just make it happen. And he did that, and it's pretty good. I really like it. So good job by you. We're going to keep talking about some stuff in here until we get Clint on the phone.
Clint Scholes with Casino Cab Company. Sorry I missed your call. Please leave your name and number, and I'll return it as soon as possible.
Should leave him a huge message.
Hey, Clint, we wanted to have you on tonight, and you're not here. We're going to keep calling you until we get a hold of you, though. Bye-bye.
Beep, beep. Live podcasting, folks.
Yep.
Gotta love it.
That's what makes us different than anybody else that's out there. Well, what makes us different is we talk about the Royals. And
you know, what makes us different is a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. So
my mom said I'm special.
Wow.
I'm glad that our mothers love us, because that's about all we got. Royals hired two new assistants to General Manager Dayton Moore, Jim Fregosi and Tim Conroy, both guys with large baseball experience. And you can check out that article on Pine Tar Press. But what they do is they just make that front office deeper, give them more eyes and more ways to find the players we really need to make this team into a playoff team.
Yeah, they were both scouts with other teams. Conroy was a scout with the Braves, so you know there's some history with Dayton Moore there. And it's Jim Fregosi Jr., who was a scout with the Phillies, not surprisingly. Fregosi obviously was the Phillies manager for a while. You know, just two other guys, you know, in good systems that have had success scouting players. And, you know, it's a good scouting department with the Royals, and gets a little bit better with two more guys, two more special assistants. You cover more ground. So, you know, good hires, I would imagine. I mean, I'm not too deep on my scouting director fantasy leagues. So,
I mean, come on, where have you been at? I had them all along. I'm so excited about this.
Sleepers.
Do you know there's something I'm going to do that next year? There's an umpire fantasy baseball league that I'm going to join in.
Really?
You can draft umpires, and depending on how many ejections they have, or if they have right calls or wrong calls.
That might be a Royal Man Report.
We might have to do an umpire ejection league, and then scouting fantasy baseball league.
Something. Hip surgery for Johnny Giovitella. Not good news for all of the people that didn't want to see Chris Getz next year.
We're
still trying to get Clint.
Just ignore the voices.
Siri? Siri's talking to us again.
Ignore the voices?
Accessing?
I can't do that.
Accessing?
While the subscriber you are trying
to reach
is located.
Giovitella's injury, it seems... by his personal Twitter account that it was something he dealt with for a little bit last year, because he was glad that he made it to the end of the season. So I think it might have been something that happened in September. You know, he tore the labrum in his right hip, which, you know, that's happened. That happened in 2009 to Alex Gordon. It's happened to Alex Rodriguez that same year. You know, and it's usually the recovery time is about 3 months, I think. I mean, Gordon was out for half the season in 2009 before finally coming back. You know, Giovitella is going to miss some of the off-season workouts and stuff, but the Royals think he's going to be fine for the start of spring training in February. Most likely not going to be an issue as long as, you know, he doesn't aggravate it. They say it happens a lot when a player, you know, puts their weight on that leg and twists. So, you know, you'll see that's his plant leg when he's, you know, twisting, swinging, or if he's planting, going to his right to throw. So I don't think it's going to be an issue, but if it does, you know, there's going to be a lot more Chris Getz on the field. Probably.
According to his Twitter account, he reports that he had arthroscopic surgery to repair a small tear in the labrum of his hip. Bothered me during the season, so glad to make it to the off season. He also hashtags it with "Path to the Championship." So he's in good spirits anyway.
Yeah,
and he's tweeting today about the New Orleans Saints winning. So,
Yeah, because he's from New Orleans. Like,
yeah.
He's got his family has a business down there or something. I hear his sister is actually pretty funny. Some people said we need to have her on. Royals released several minor leaguers. One of note that really caught my eye was Lance Zawitski. He almost made the team out of spring training and is cut now and gone from the organization. Along with him is Darren Stanford, outfielder, another outfielder, Stephen Brooks, catcher Don Cornstubble, who may have the best name in the organization.
Cornstubble and Zawitski.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, how's that for a team up the middle?
Sounds well like done. A Dan Aykroyd character or something.
Picture Casey Edelbrook, outfielder Justin Federas, outfielder Nick Francis, infielder Gerald Hall, utility guy Derek Hamlin, pitcher Nathan Johnson, catcher Paul Kreeves, first baseman Joey Lewis, and pitcher Robbie Penny. Obviously, none of those are too exciting. Nick Francis was, as Greg Shum quotes here on Pine Tar Press, one of the most talented offensive performers in the system, but he never could stay out of trouble. He finished his Royals career with a .286, .340, .476, 1,523 at-bats. Should get a shot with another organization, says Shum.
Yeah.
And it goes back to the whole Pomeranz thing. This is what they're worried about, and you've got to really look out for that. And maybe Cologne wasn't the right guy. But
he's not going to get in trouble.
Yeah,
I think
and
we know
and
that
he,
much.
What the experts are saying with him is that he probably will be a utility guy his whole career, but he will make the major leagues eventually. And he can't be any worse than Chris Getz.
Yeah, you could see him as like an Orlando Cabrera type of guy. You know, someone who, if you need him to play full time, he would be able to do it and do so, you know, at league average or just above league average. You know, solid kind of middle infield guy. You never know. I mean, he could always turn it around. He always showed really good leadership at Cal State Fullerton. And, you know, that doesn't show up on the scoreboard, but you look at guys like Jeff Francoeur, it does have an effect, I think, to an extent. Gerard Hall on that list also, he was another guy. I think he had tested for a banned substance.
Oops.
He was an all-star in the Midwest League, I think, as a shortstop. He got 50-game suspension, and I think they just decided to, you know, let him go. So maybe there was some fallout after that, too. So, you know, right back to it. I mean, you know, some of the time you have to make that decision if you're going to cut bait on a guy, if they're just going to keep being a problem, talent or otherwise. It takes resources away from what your team's trying to do as far as developing these guys when that happens. And, you know, sometimes it could even set up a double standard. So maybe it's better to stay away from those guys. I don't know.
So last night we got to watch a football game between St. Louis and Texas, 16-7. How about that game, guys?
It came down to the kicking game. Use special teams is really important in those Texas games. You know, it's Texas, big football town, or big football state. So you got to really watch for the special teams there. That was my joke. So go ahead and cut me off and say, okay, you're done.
Okay, I was letting you go. You good? I was trying to remember the name of the gal from Kansas that called that said Kansas. You know, the city of Kansas or whatever she said, because you had said the city of Texas.
Oh, that was Selby's mom.
Yeah. But I was blowing my own joke,
remember.
So I couldn't come up. I couldn't
Morris,
cut yours because I couldn't blow mine.
I got
so.
You. Well, hey, you're right.
Hello. Yes.
Selby
hello.
Was his own kind of joke.
Hello.
Amen to that.
Hey, I mean.
So the Cardinals are up 2-1.
Yeah, I don't like that. Not at all.
Not at all.
Yeah, on the plus side, the Rangers are winning 1-0, so.
Yeah, well, hopefully they keep that up. And, of course, this is recorded live 7-8 every Sunday on RoyalManReport.com. It's not good when you forget your own website.
No, it's not.
Matt Traynor is active with the Rangers. I don't think he's had a bat yet or any time defensively, but he's on the team, and that's all that matters. So Chris is very angry about something over here.
I'm trying
laptop.
To try – this stupid MLB Depth TV, stupid garbage.
Everything's blacked
Fox.
Out.
You know
I noticed that after I paid $119 too that you don't get anything in the playoffs. But I guess I got my money's worth during the regular season.
Or did you?
It says on my sheet here, Pujols, discuss. I'm going to guess that this is a Chris Kamler edition.
He's good. He's what?
Breaking news, folks.
Yeah,
only
breaking news.
Just he only got, five hits, three home runs last night.
That's all.
One of only a handful of people in the universe to do that in a World Series game. So
three homers.
Not bad. You know, not bad. So
didn't hit four.
The betting man is saying that there's no way that St. Louis gets rid of him. There's no way. But Pujols, if he's smart, he's just going to ask for the sun and the moon and the stars, don't you think?
He's going to get it.
He's going to get
it. I mean, look at what he did last night. If they win the World Series, I think it makes it more likely he would leave. That's just my feeling because – they accomplished it. They got there. So now he can move on and get his payday.
I suppose what I honest to God, what I expect to see happen is he goes to Boston because Boston is losing David Ortiz and he can play first, third, and catch. Or first, third, and catch. Boy.
And catch. What?
That, I don't know where that came from. First, third, and DH. Then you have obviously the depth there. They have the money to do it. And then Prince Fielder goes from Milwaukee to St. Louis and builds that rivalry even bigger. And then who knows who Milwaukee ends up with. But I honest to God expect to see that happen. St. Louis is going to have a big first baseman. No worries there for the Cardinals fans. So it's not a big deal. Clint did tweet us, and he will be on in the next segment. He apparently was having some troubles with his phone going straight to voicemail. But I have told him we'll give him a call here in a couple minutes.
Awesome.
You know, what if the Royals did it? What if they made it to the World Series? What would it be like? I believe this was a Kings of Kauffman article. And what would you guys – you guys can probably guess what it would look like for me. You know, little girl screaming and yelling.
I think we talked about that in the Fake Ned Minute last week.
Yeah.
you and Superfan Chris would be
just sky high
down
for
the Blue
Ridge.
I'm pretty sure that I would be throwing the cape off and running through. I may even try to jump on the field at that point if we won the World Series.
Oh, God. You know, I would be so just nervous myself.
The male Morgana?
Yeah, it would be something like that.
Royal Man, the Kissing Bandit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Boobs are about the same.
Let's hope the Royals
don't
do that well.
I know. Yeah.
No, we can't do it.
Eric Hosmer!
It's the same thing. Like, you know, I mean, we all have our other sports interests, and for me, you know, it's Kansas basketball. So whenever they're in the tournament, I almost don't want to watch the games because if they're doing poorly, like they –
You get sick to your stomach.
You get, it feels terrible, and it's the nerves. It just kills. So
it'd be fun, though.
But it'd be
a nice problem to have, I guess.
Let's make the playoffs. That's all I care about.
Right.
We're going to be back.
This place is going to be insane.
Yeah, we're going to be insane at 500. Let's get Clint on the phone in this next segment. We got lots more to talk about on the other side. Be right back.
We're excited to have an exclusive interview with the new iPhone 4 assistant, Siri. Hello, Siri. How are you doing today?
Thank you. It's nice for me to be here.
Siri, you've been pretty busy with the new iPhone launch. What do you do for fun?
It's just been crazy around here. I've been looking for a place to get away and wind down, but I have not been able to find anything my style on the plaza.
Well, have you tried Kelly's Westport Inn?
I show Kelly's Westport Inn to be at the corner of Westport Road and Pennsylvania Avenue.
It's got way more than that. It's been voted by The Pitch as one of the best places to meet guys in Kansas City. It's got a great laid-back vibe, plenty of TVs to watch sports, an awesome pizza place in the back, and plenty of drink specials during the week.
You say it's a nice place to meet guys? Accessing. This sounds like the place for me. Shutting down now.
You can't shut down. If you want to meet Siri and other great Kansas Cityans, check out Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road in beautiful, laid-back Westport. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
And welcome back into the Royal Man Report. That was, of course, our friends from 49 Stones. Hey, I don't know if you guys caught it or not, but Alice 102.1 is doing local artists on Fridays now at 6 p.m., and they were featured last week. So so it was good for them to get one song out there on major radio. So check them out. They've got some shows coming out. Check out their site at 49stones.net. Anyways, moving right on, we're going to be joined here in just a second by Clint Scholes.
I'm here, boys.
You're there. Okay,
hey,
good.
Clint. Clint. How you doing, buddy?
Yay for working telephones.
Pine Tar Press.
Yeah, finally. I've got a Crackberry, so it doesn't work too well.
Boy, you guys have been having all sorts of trouble on the BlackBerry network these last few days. Hopefully you guys get that all figured out. So we I don't know if you caught the beginning of the show or not, but we talked about several articles from Pine Tar Press. All were wrote by Greg, but let me get your opinion on one of them. He talked about drafting Cologne and passing on Pomeranz and how it was a character thing. How do you feel about that draft? Where would you like to see us went with 2020 vision?
I was a big Chris Sale guy is who I wanted. I know he's been working out of the bullpen, but, you know, any guy, Sale had a great changeup in college. He had a, you know, a good fastball. He just didn't have the off-speed pitch. He didn't have the slider or the curveball yet, but it was there. He was working on it. And I'll take a guy with a good changeup any day over most pitchers. And now after seeing, you know, and nothing to bag on Christian Colon, but after seeing him for a year in Northwest Arkansas and then watching him at the Arizona Fall League, I still would rather have Sale. Pomeranz probably has a better upside, but that's where I was.
Hey, I can totally agree with that because Chris Sale looked phenomenal for the White Sox this year. That's definitely for a team that's hurting for pitching. You look back at that, and of course they didn't know they were going to make the trade that they did to shore up shortstop and pretty much second base as they have. So it's easy to look back and say that what works and what doesn't. But you wrote about several position switches for Fletcher and Gallagher and Christian Colon working a little bit at second. Is this typical for the Instruction League or something out of the ordinary?
Well, I think Colon, you know, I don't know if Colon will play shortstop or second when he's with the Royals or organization. It's just he's playing with Tim Beckham, you know, the Rays prospect and former first number one overall pick. So he's got really no choice but to play second if he wants to get on the field. As far as the other guys that were there, you know, Brian Fletcher moving to first base, I think, is the biggest move and probably the best move for Brian long term. You know, with the prospects that we have in the outfield, Eibner, Bonifacio, Bubba, etc., he's going to have a tough time getting on the field with his defensive limitations. So I think moving to first base is probably good for his long term career. That's the biggest move.
Yeah, we talked about him last time we had you on about Fletcher and his defensive liabilities. So I think first base is probably okay, and you know, you get a chance to get that bat in the lineup because he's you know, all he did all year was hit. Well, I think that's a good move, and you know, on Cologne, a lot of people have kind of suspected he would always be a second baseman. Who else have you seen down there who's been impressing you that maybe surprises, or you know, guys who you didn't expect to be doing well in any of the instructionals?
You know, I only saw him for a couple days, so I can't really say for sure like guys that really stood out. But a guy like Yim Pradas, I wrote about getting off the bus, that whole deal. Mm-hmm. When you look at Rangers and Reds prospects, man, when they get off the bus, they're impressive. Yim Pradas is one of those guys. Bubba Starling's one of those guys that when you see them, you're like, wow, those guys are physical beasts. Pradas is 23, so he should be a little bit further down the road with that anyway. He should be in better shape. Bubba really stands out, those guys that you see on the field. Other than that, you know, Cuthbert looked really good with the stick in BP. Bonifacio looked really good in the game, you know. But other than that, it was the last couple games of instructs. And to be honest with the players were looking to get out of town more than they were looking to impress from what I saw.
Yeah, I always wonder if, because instructional games really aren't games. They're just kind of, you put them out there. If a pitcher hits their pitch count, you know, they start the inning over a lot of times and just change over. I wonder if that's a focus thing. But, you know, that's always interesting at least.
Yeah, Ortega looked a lot better. I mean, with the bat, he looked a little bit more capable than he did last year when I saw him in spring training. He looked a lot bigger. But other than that, Antonio was working a little bit at third base, which was a move that we talked had to be made. He was not a shortstop in my mind, and he's still working at shortstop a little bit, but he's too big. He's got to be a corner infielder, a corner outfielder.
We had a question in the chat room from Jordan223B, if you're scoring at home. His question is Cologne trade bait. What do you think we're going to do with Christian Cologne?
I think he's a utility guy at worst if they keep him around. I've watched Giovitella all year, and I've seen Cologne. I haven't seen Christian as much as I've seen Giovitella. What I've seen is he's not as good, pure and simple. The defense doesn't make up. So, yeah, you got to look at trading. But I don't think you're going to get a lot. I mean, I just don't. Yeah, he's the number four overall pick in the past, but how? At a certain time, that stops. That stops any kind of value. He's an organizational player who he's going to have to fight with Ray Navarro to keep his spot, and I don't know if he can fight him off.
We traded for Navarro in the Vilas deal. He's going to be a utility guy, too, that can play everywhere from what they say. He can be a temporary outfielder, third base, second base, wherever they want him. Is there going to be space for Cologne up at the big league level anytime soon? And if he does, how many positions is he going to be able to play as a utility guy?
He could probably be third base, second base. I was talking about Ray Navarro that we traded for in the Carlos Rosa deal. But and then you got Yamiko Navarro. So I think we're building some depth at second base with Giovitella and the two Navarros. You know, I don't know. Christian Cologne, hopefully he bounces back. I know this. Omaha, if that's where they assign him, is a much better park for a right-handed hitter. Northwest Arkansas didn't play like it did the year before. Is that talent? I don't know. I know for right-handed hitters, Northwest Arkansas isn't some great park to play for. It's for the lefties. You know, I think there's probably a Texas-like jet stream there. So, but Omaha is a complete opposite beast, so maybe he can bounce back. I've only seen him. I watched probably 20, 30 games online last year, saw him live a couple times, you know, at Spring and a couple other places last year at the Royals Future game, and then I saw him at the Fall League game, so I don't want to totally downgrade him, but from what I've seen, he doesn't look like a major league. With the bat is what really scares me. He doesn't look that impressive with the bat. I've only seen him play the one game at second base.
Now, I'd kind of seen on Twitter some reports that Gerard Dyson was down there turning some heads. Did you get a chance to see him, and what do you think his potential is for 2012?
I didn't see Dyson. Was he playing in the Fall League games?
I had just seen that somebody saw him and said he looked real good.
He's in Venezuela.
Oh, is he? Yeah. Well, sure. You weren't in Venezuela? Come on, man.
Did you get a chance to see Anthony Sarantelli?
Yeah, I did see Sarantelli. He had a couple hits the night I was there. Myers walked three times. I think he swung the bat like three times. So I didn't, you know, the guys that I saw, it was very limited. You know, I didn't get in the stadium in time to watch them take BP. Will caught a couple balls on the outfield, and he looked very comfortable out there. And Sarantelli can, you know, Sarantelli's a solid guy. But he's 28 years old, and he's playing with 23, 24-year-olds. He's a great old player. I don't think you can really expect anything more than that out of him.
He's actually doing pretty well down there, so that was why I was kind of interested on that one. As we look over these numbers on the organizational report, there's some players that are kind of surprisingly not doing very well down in Venezuela, like Gerard Dyson and Manny Pena. Can we read into much of this offseason stuff? Like, if these guys have a bad organizational offseason, is there much to read into there?
You know, I don't really think so. I think it's these guys are working on things. You know, I haven't even looked at Dyson's stats, but we know what kind of player Dyson is. He's a fast guy. He's going to steal bases. I think the future at center field is Lorenzo Cain if we have it in the organization and they're at the upper levels. That's the future of center field. Can Dyson play a great defensive center field? Hell yeah, he can. Can he run to steal bases? Yeah, but I think at the major league level, he'd be exposed, kind of like Joey Gathright, right?
Yeah, Lorenzo Cain's another guy that's not doing real well down in Venezuela. So I'm figuring that he's going to be a great major leaguer. We'll see what we get out of him when he gets up here. I'm going to throw a bit of curveball here. A guy that I've never heard of before that's actually pitching pretty well in the Dominican League is Willie LeBron. Do you know anything about him?
Willie LeBron, yeah. I saw him in Omaha, you know, a few times. Throws hard, but He's an older guy. I think I don't even remember how old he is. He was out of baseball for 2 or 3 years, and when I saw him in Omaha, he was solid. You know, he was setting up like Herrera and some of the late guys like Chavez, and he really did well at AA and AAA. So maybe he found something. This is the first time he was out of baseball for quite a while, I think.
He's actually,
so maybe it's something new and he found.
He's a year older than I am, so he's 32 years old.
Oh, that's old.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, he's ancient in baseball years.
Hey,
so
I'm 33. That is dirt old.
It definitely feels like it after a night of drinking, doesn't it, Mike?
I don't know what you're talking about.
So we got just a minute or so left here. You want to tell us about anything that's coming up at Pine Tar Press or anything that you've recently wrote that you're real proud of?
You know, just check everything that's on every day. Dave Lusky's doing a great job as a writer that
yes,
we've added, and you know, and to be honest with you, I've taken some time away from writing. I write every day during the season, so I took away, and then I thought I'd take a few days to go down and check out some guys. I'll tell you this though, of the guys I saw, and it's nice to see when your first round pick looks impressive, and when you get off and you see Bubba Starling, the kid looks very impressive.
Awesome.
Now, does it translate onto the field? I don't know if it will. He looks like the man. He looks like he's got a cannon arm. He's going to have pop. He's going to have power. I think that's the guy we can watch this year, and that'll be fun to watch.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be right back in the next segment to talk a little Chiefs football, a little college football, and to wrap it up with a little sporting talk. We'll be right back.
We're excited to have an exclusive interview with the new iPhone 4 assistant, Siri. Hello, Siri. How are you doing today?
Thank you. It's nice for me to be here.
Siri, you've been pretty busy with the new iPhone launch. What do you do for fun?
It's just been crazy around here. I've been looking for a place to get away and wind down, but I have not been able to find anything my style on the plaza.
Well, have you tried Kelly's Westport Inn?
I show Kelly's Westport Inn to be at the corner of Westport Road and Pennsylvania Avenue.
Got way more than that. It's been voted by The Pitch as one of the best places to meet guys in Kansas City. It's got a great laid-back vibe, plenty of TVs to watch sports, an awesome pizza place in the back, and plenty of drink specials during the week.
You say it's a nice place to meet guys? Accessing. This sounds like the place for me. Shutting down now.
You can't shut down. If you want to meet Siri and other great Kansas Cityans, check out Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road in beautiful, laid-back Westport. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
Big Ned Minute.
Oh, who did that?
Darn near close to a minute this time. Well, there's finally a nip in the air, and that means it's World Series time. And man, have we got some things to discuss. First of all, the managing in this series has been horrible. Tony La Russa? Arthur Rhodes? Really? Was Kyle Farnsworth not available? And my, oh my, what about our friend Ron freaking Washington? He seems like he's having so much fun, I'm thinking of putting the entire Royals team on cocaine next year just because it looks so great! The broadcasts have really been Emmy-worthy, right? Joe Buck makes me want to drive into a bridge, and Tim McCarver talks like a third-grade Dr. Phil as he explains what a bunt is, and this wizardly X-ray camera. Well, at least we've only got a few more games left before the year of the Royals starts. This has been your Fake Ned Minute.
Fake Ned Minute.
Oh, who did that?
And welcome back to the Royal Man Report. I'm trying to update our live stream here. If you listen live on Sundays from 7 to 8, it looks like we're having a little technical difficulty, and it's not on our end. It's definitely on the live stream end. Anyways, moving on. Chiefs looked really good today. We did talk about this on the top of the show. Just what did you guys see that you really liked, and what can we expect this the rest of the way? Am I out of my mind thinking that we can beat the Chargers next week on Halloween and actually tie for the division lead?
Doesn't hurt when you start the game with a couple of interceptions, a little special teams play, some, you know, pick six right at the right time. You're up 14-0 before people get set down, and I mean it's nice. I'm not sure you can bet on it every week, but it was nice to see this week.
Yeah, the Raiders just did not look good. You know, it's kind of surprising that Jason Campbell ends up kind of being the guy that made them winners this year, you know, considering his track record from Washington. But, I mean, the Chiefs looked good. I mean, the last couple games, they've passed a lot more. They've, you know, made better decisions getting the ball out. And defensively, I mean, they kept the pressure on and kept going with it. Again, the Chargers, really not that impressive. I mean, they haven't done very well at all. They didn't play well today. And, you know, I think they're vulnerable. I mean, Philip Rivers just is not making good decisions.
No, he's not, because he's my starting quarterback in fantasy every week. And let me tell you, I'm about done. I'm about tired of it.
You got 120 yards out of him?
I got 7 points out of that SOB this week, and I'm not happy about it at all.
Not a nicer guy in football that could happen to either.
He's such a jerk. Him and Jay Cutler could get in a boat together and sink, and I think the world would be a better place for it.
They can take Jim Schwartz, too. All three can have a scowl off.
Hey, before we get too far in, if you are listening to this on the live stream or listening to this on the podcast, take 2 seconds right now and click the plus one, the thumbs up, the up yours, the whatever button you got on the podcast, the dollar, and try to vote us up to get us some pub. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your enemies. Hell, I don't care. But I think we got a pretty good thing going with this little podcast deal. It's kind of fun. They let me come in and make monkey sounds for an hour on Sundays. So take a second and plus one and plus up and all that good stuff, please, for the Royal Man Report.
And if you search for us on Google, if you search Royal Man Report and you find the Kings of Kaufman site, or you search for Royals Podcast and you find us, that's the one especially. If you're on Google, search Royals Podcast, find where we're at on there and hit the little plus one button. It really helps us move up the rankings. And we are the only active Royals Podcast still at this time, and we're going to continue to provide this for the off season weekly, thanks to Kelly's Westport Inn, and they're a big supporter of this. They understand how great of a thing we're doing, and they're going to keep with us. And so it's been a really good whole situation. So definitely stop in there, tell them that you heard about them from us, and you're going to get such a great experience there. You're not going to care where you found it from, because they're just a lot of fun, good guys, bartenders that are real and not a bunch of fake people just trying to get a buck. What's wrong with fake people? Yeah, nothing wrong with fake people.
You know, you could plus one them while you're at it.
Yeah, plus one. Yeah, Kelly's, plus one Kelly's. Get on Yelp or Google Latitude or whatever.
Whatever you check in on, because I know y'all are checking in on something out there, so check in. And take care of it there. Apparently the live stream was working okay the whole time. The only people that couldn't see it was us.
Oh, well, that's probably good for everybody.
So Sunday, 7 to 8, you can hear us making ass of ourselves right there live. And I mean, you
could hear me, you know, 5 p.m. on a Monday. I mean, it doesn't matter what time.
You can just call up Engel. I'll give you his phone number. You just call him up. He'll talk to you about whatever.
Don't
take him up on that.
We're going to pass on that. A couple of programming notes as well. We will be here next weekend. It will be the Royal Man Report Halloween edition. God only knows what we'll figure out to do there. Maybe Dr. John Dorian will stop in for us or something. And if you didn't see those,
I don't know.
Maybe not, but no, maybe he will.
At Michael Engel. I mean, just check out the Twitter feed, folks.
I was trying
That's
to build your
say.
Twitter feed. You kind of killed my joke.
Yeah, I know. I'm a joke killer today.
You're just smashing things. Also, check out our friends over at the Big Dumb Fun Show. They're on every Sunday or every Monday from 7 to 10 p.m. at BigDumbFunShow.com. They're crazy enough to let me work on their show once in a while, and I'm going to be co-hosting it with our friend Gnurk over here on Halloween. So by the time you'll hear this, their show may have already ran tomorrow from 7
to
10.
Our regular show will have run 7 to 10 on Mondays, but then on October 31st, it's a special Halloween show.
Yes. With a special Halloween host, which will be me, and we'll be joined by their sports guy Chris, and it'll be a lot of fun all the way around. You know, he was cheating on Vanilla Ice last night.
Yeah, Cal Cruz.
Yeah, with some new music.
Break your heart.
Yeah, he was breaking hearts.
I don't know how that song goes.
That's enough of that. Nice. Anyways, Sporting KC heads to the playoffs. It is a sellout, kids. We may not like soccer a whole lot here, or we may not know much about the Sporting, and I'm going to have to get somebody on that knows something about it so that we can actually talk about the Sporting in the fourth segment, because they deserve it. But they are headed to the playoffs. Check out SportingKC.com for all the information on that. But it is a sellout from what I understand. But I'm sure there's going to be big parties all over Legends that weekend, and they do get a home game, obviously. So check it out, and good luck to them. I'd love to see a championship of a professional sport in Kansas City. Shout out to Brian McGannon. His Missouri Mavericks are 2-0 so far, and they have their first home game November 5th. I'm going to try to be there. You all should be too. It's a great event out of the Independence Event Center. So what do we got at Kings of Kauffman this week?
Well, I'm still going through and reviewing prospects that we ranked back in February just to kind of see where everybody, you know, how their season went, where they stand now as far as the organization, what their next step is. We just did a profile on David Lowe, who was the 17th ranked prospect last February. So, you know, guys like that just going down the line. We've also got a monthly review every Sunday by Ethan Evans. Kevin Scobie is working on some kind of pitching analysis and pitching motion. He was a former college pitching coach, so he's bringing that experience to the table. And, you know, every day there's going to be something. We're trying to get as many articles up this month as we can to set a new record, which I think is always cool to do in the off season. You know, because there's always something to talk about no matter what. And in doing it in the off season, you know, I think is special to me. So,
well, and I am not to, you know, give you kudos unnecessarily, but Kings of Kauffman,
go right ahead.
Kings of Kauffman, Pine Tar Press. I mean, the amount of content that continues to come out about the Royals in the off season is really, really nice and really cool. Even if you're, you know, just kind of a partial Royals fan or just a fan of baseball, or just you need to get your fix after the World Series is over. The Kings of Kauffman, Pine Tar Press is two outstanding websites that are updated daily. And what am I going to do this week? I have to install a security system at my work because of Engle, to keep Engle out. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I do that stuff.
Comment on any inaccurate graphics that may appear on TV.
Yeah, absolutely. That was kind of fun.
We didn't even bring that up yet. I forgot that we are joined in studio by a nationally known.
Yeah, I went semi-viral this week, or at least my television went semi-viral this week as I continue to be completely dumbfounded by how awful the Fox broadcast is on the World Series. It's
Fox. That's a five-letter word.
I try not to be just a huge hater, but when they provide you with such garbage, day in and day out this is the World freaking Series. It should be a lot better than it is, and unfortunately, it's awful.
Explain what happened.
Okay, so we're watching the game, and they're showing a graphic about Colby Lewis and how many places he has traveled in his career. And it's a yellow graphic with the United States on it. And as they're plopping on, you know, he went to the Senator, or he went to the Nationals, he went to a couple other places, and they're making all the states blue that he was in. So of course he was with the Royals for like 5 minutes. He never actually played for us. He didn't throw an inning. But he was with the Royals, and so sure enough, they make the state of Kansas blue. And I said, "Oh hell to the no!" So I took a picture of my I froze frame it, and I took a picture of it, and I put it on Twitter. And I, you know, said something nasty, and that apparently got picked up. It got picked up by The Big Lead, which is a big sports media website. That got picked up by Deadspin.com, which is a really big media website. Which then, the next morning, some guy called me and says, "Your television's on Yahoo.com." And it actually ended up on the sports blog on Yahoo.com. And then at one point in time, it was the lead story on the front page of Yahoo.com. So, I went a little bit viral, and at Fake Ned Yost was on all of them. So that was pretty cool. But,
viral.
If you're going to be viral, I mean, that's the way I want to be viral. Instead of having to get a penicillin shot for it.
Did you see a followers bump or anything from that?
Not really. No, but that's fine. You know, I'm sure my TV got a followers bump. We should make a fake account. Fake Ned Yost TV.
Oh, that'd be great. Fake Ned's TV. That would have been a good one. We'll have to watch if we get anything.
I'm kind of a big deal now.
Yeah, it just all of a sudden your TV becomes Siri invades your TV and starts talking out of it too.
Yeah, exactly. So
kind of like a GLaDOS kind of thing going on. I don't know what.
What is GLaDOS?
Still alive? It's a portal.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I just know the song from Rock Band.
Wow. So. Okay.
Yeah.
Michael Engle, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give him a big hand. Nice job.
Yeah. Doing what I can. Try the veal. There we go.
Come on, dance for us.
No.
Michael Engle, here's a fun fact. Michael Engle is an outstanding. I mean, we're talking like staying alive type outstanding dancer. He's very, very, it really helps when you're heavily inebriated and can watch him dance.
Eric Hosmer was nominated for a Players' Choice Honors this last week, so check out Royals.com. They talked about that. It's interesting that it's made available by the Player's Choice Award made by the Major League Baseball's Player Association honors a player each year and a Man of the Year encompassing both leagues, plus an outstanding player, pitcher, rookie, and comeback player in each league. Hosmer was the only Royal nominated for any of those awards, but he was nominated for the Player's Choice Awards, and it will be announced on the MLB Network from 7 to 8 on Thursday, November 3rd. So you can check that out there.
Yeah, I think I saw he was up against Mark Trumbo and Jeremy Hellickson.
I just wanted him to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, those are going to be probably the two main people he would have to beat out for Rookie of the Year.
Now, do they do the? I've never really cared about the Rookie of the Year award because it's never involved players I cared about. But do they announce those live like the Heisman or is that something that is just
it
announced?
All just comes out in a press
they
release.
Just kind of announce it. It just happens. I mean, they might start to now because you know they've got the MLB Network, and you know, kind of like they've done draft specials where. You know, the Major League Baseball amateur draft used to just be a big conference call. You know, completely, probably the most boring thing you could ever witness.
No.
Now it's boring live television.
That was the Mizzou Chancellor's address from UMKC.
Hey,
that was
hey,
the most boring
that
thing
That was
to
outstanding.
Watch,
and
it
was I was trying to get you.
Lies.
I was trying to get you to run down the hallway and just break in and go, Royal Man! And then just like run out of the room.
For those that don't know,
Troy works at UMKC.
For another week, and he wanted me to go ahead and end that
a
few days
bang,
early.
Baby.
Yeah, they would find a way to keep my severance.
No,
though.
Or that you at one point in time, there were those four empty chairs, and I was trying to get you like put a Royal Man Report flag on one of the microphones. There.
Yeah, just pop them all
full. That would have been great.
I don't think it would have flown well. We didn't really talk about college football, one of the most exciting college football series we've seen in a while. Just getting away from the local stuff, the Michigan State-Wisconsin game. Have you guys seen a Hail Mary get batted around like that?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. An instant replay plays a big part. Not sure it was the right call, but Michigan State gets a win. They're going to hang 60 on Nebraska next week, so for all you Nebraska haters, you can look forward to that because we couldn't handle Wisconsin at all, and they're just going to kill them.
Well, you know, it's not that bad. You know, a few 40-point losses, you know, you can tough it out. Trust me.
I've been talking to Curtis Kitchen off and on this week, and he's a big K-State guy, works for 610, does the K-State stuff for them. And he was pretty excited last week going into this week. I was trying to get a hold of him this week. He's probably drunk somewhere because he's so excited about them being the team that's undefeated going into this game with Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
Oklahoma screwed Kansas State about from getting College Game Day from ESPN. So.
Well, College Game Day.
Sorry, Aaron Andrews.
Yeah.
College we should have had her on the show, too.
There you go. Man. College Ooh, game day has never been any good for Nebraska, so hopefully it won't hinder K-State now with them not being there. They, of course, will be out watching Luck at Stanford. In the meanwhile, we're going to get out of here this week. Thanks, as always, to Andre and the Giants, who is now our exit music, making us a completely legal show. And once again, please favorite or thumbs up anything you can find. Go to Kelly's. We'll be there tonight for a little while, but they have $2 pizza slices on Sunday and Monday. So check it out if you need somewhere to watch football. But until next week, I'm Casey Royal, man.
I'm Michael Engel.
And I'm Fake Ned Yo.
And we are out of here. Go Royals!
What you trying to be yourself for?